Bitcoin chaos, the DOJ charging KuCoin, and a North Korean hacker. Strap in. Good morning. You're listening to the Rise in Crypto podcast by Cointelegraph with me, Robert Baggs, steering you through the crypto cosmos with daily dispatches from the digital frontier. If your friends think you're knowledgeable about crypto and you want to stave off that imposter syndrome, click that follow button. Okay, grab yourself a coffee. Let's get into it. Don't worry, we're all imposters. Right, here's what's on the docket today. Bitcoin has had a volatile 24 hours, so we're going to look at what was behind that, as well as the sell-side liquidity crisis, and a Bitcoin wallet from 2010 waking up. The US Department of Justice has charged KuCoin and its two founders. The NFT game Munchables is hacked for $62 million, and you'll never guess what happens next. And the meme coin craze continues as Solana's co-founder calls for it to stop. Well, that's been a very spiky 24 hours for Bitcoin. So I looked at a few analysts' work that suggests that the pre-halving retrace that we have seen historically may be over for this upcoming halving event, but some say it isn't. Despite some strong gains yesterday morning, the upside faded and Bitcoin corrected. Rekt Capital highlighted the importance of making $69,000, the previous all-time high, definitive support going forward so that we can sustain price discovery. This is broadly what happened back in 2020 at the last halving. As for this retrace, he said in a recent YouTube video that I will link in the description, "First of all, we've satisfied the pre-halving rally. We've seen a fantastic run take us to new all-time highs. This pre-halving retrace of 18% has occurred, and it could be over, but of course this pre-halving retrace exists to enable a sideways range, a reaccumulation structure that sees us just consolidate for a long time. So basically, we're not sure if the retrace is over yet, but this is such a localized issue. I'm a strong believer in, if in doubt, zoom out, and things are far more positive when you do." As I discussed yesterday, courtesy of, in part, the spot Bitcoin ETFs, we're seeing incredible demand for BTC, with new supply halving in just a few weeks. I'm not going to do a full section on the ETFs today, but to update you, initial numbers from Farside suggest that yesterday saw a big spike in overall inflows, leading to a net positive of $418 million across all 10 ETFs, with Grayscale dropping from Monday's heavy outflows, but still seeing $212.3 million leave. Okay, back to the bigger picture. CryptoQuant did some analysis on this and estimates that at the rate we're going, we may only have a year before available Bitcoin dries up. This sell-side liquidity crisis is becoming a significant topic of conversation lately. They wrote in a report, "Record Bitcoin demand paired with declining sell-side liquidity has resulted in the liquid inventory of Bitcoin plunging to the lowest ever in terms of months of demand." Adding that, "We estimate that the present Bitcoin sell-side liquidity inventory is only enough to cover demand growing at the current rate for 12 months. What makes this even spicier is that the analysis is done using only accumulation addresses. That is, wallets with no outbound transactions, only buying Bitcoin, never selling, basically. And so as far as I can tell, it doesn't consider wallets that buy more than they sell, but do sell." Furthermore, CryptoQuant adds, "The Bitcoin liquid inventory drops to 6 months of demand if we exclude the Bitcoin on exchanges outside of the US. We exclude these exchanges considering that the US spot Bitcoin ETFs will only source Bitcoin from US entities." Obviously, many people are expecting Bitcoin demand to wane now the spot Bitcoin ETFs have been out a while. Though, as I've mentioned a few times, the ARK Invest CEO, Cathie Wood, believes we're only just getting started. So if demand increased, who knows what that would do for the timeline of the sell-side liquidity crisis. Whatever the case, it has to be good for Bitcoin's price, right? Anyway, I want to end this Bitcoin recap on a lighter note, and I really love stories like this because I want to know more about the person behind it. After 14 years, a wallet that took rewards from mining Bitcoin back in 2010 has woken up. This miner has moved 2,000 Bitcoin to a new address, worth in the region of $140 million. So I don't think most people appreciate how crazy this is. This person has held Bitcoin from back when it was 20 cents per coin, through myriad new all-time highs, including a spike to $1,200 in 2014. But despite their holdings going from $400 to $2.4 million, they didn't sell, and then it fell back to under $100 by the end of that year. Then we had another all-time high a few years later where they could have cashed in for $40 million, but they didn't budge. Then in 2021, they had potentially $140 million, but still no movement. So I see three potential explanations here. Number one, the miner lost their keys, but has now found them. Number two, the miner has incredible delayed gratification and has just been waiting for a time that they feel is right. Or number three, they are an incredible hodler that still isn't selling, they're just moving the stash to a new wallet. My money is probably on number one, they lost their keys, but I need to know the answer. What do you think? Share your theories with us on @Cointelegraph and @RKBags on X. Another day, another crypto exchange is in hot water in the US, and to be honest, this water's boiling. Yesterday, the US Department of Justice officials unsealed an indictment against the major exchange KuCoin, as well as two of its founders, Chun Gan and Key Tang, for conspiring to operate an unlicensed money transmitting business and violations of the Bank Secrecy Act, or BSA. The DOJ said that Gan and Tang willfully failed to maintain anti-money laundering efforts, and this resulted in KuCoin being used for, and I quote here, money laundering and terrorist financing. So yes, serious charges indeed. The US attorney, Damian Williams, said, KuCoin and its founders deliberately sought to conceal the fact that substantial numbers of US users were trading on KuCoin's platform. Indeed, KuCoin allegedly took advantage of its sizable US customer base to become one of the world's largest cryptocurrency derivatives and spot exchanges, with billions of dollars of daily trades and trillions of dollars of annual trade volume. Williams added that, in failing to implement even basic anti-money laundering policies, the defendants allowed KuCoin to operate in the shadows of the financial markets and be used as a haven for illicit money laundering. Running parallel to these charges is a civil enforcement case from the US Commodity Futures Trading Commission, the CFTC, which is charging KuCoin with multiple violations of the Commodity Exchange Act, CEA, and CFTC regulations. According to the Justice Department, KuCoin received more than $5 billion and sent more than $4 billion of suspicious and criminal funds. So yes, these are some heavy-duty charges against KuCoin, a popular exchange since 2017 and the seventh largest by 24-hour trading volume. The exchange took to X to reply, KuCoin is operating well and the assets of our users are absolutely safe. We are aware of the related reports and are currently investigating the details through our lawyers. KuCoin respects the laws and regulations of various countries and strictly adheres to compliance standards. Apparently though, its two founders, Gan and Tang, are whereabouts unknown. While we're looking at alleged crimes, there was an unusual hack yesterday. Munchables, a new NFT game built on the Ethereum Layer 2 Blast, announced that it had seen nearly 17,500 ETH drained by a hacker, which is worth around $62 million. PeckShield and the one and only ZackXBT jumped on the case, and Zack believed that the exploit traced back to one of Munchables' own developers, Werewolves0943, who Munchables apparently hired from, wait for it, North Korea, the country with state-sponsored crypto hacking. Munchables confirmed that it was one of their own developers, and then they said this. The Munchables developer has shared all private keys involved to assist in recovering the user funds. Specifically, the key that holds 62,535,441.24 USD, the key which holds 73 wrapped ETH, and the owner key which contains the rest of the funds. Yep, you heard that right. After just an hour of negotiations, the hacker had a change of heart and returned all of the funds without a ransom. All's well that ends well, I guess. I'm in a bit of a groove at the moment. I start episodes with Bitcoin and I end with meme coins. It's what the people want. Another Solana meme coin seems to be on a wild ascent as many call for the madness to stop. It's really the latter I want to highlight more than another flash in the pan, but I can't deny it's interesting to hear about them. So, the token that's currently caught the attention of the degen masses is GeoBoden, ticker Boden, a Solana meme coin that is a clear parody of the US President Joe Biden. Boden surpassed a $250 million market cap after gaining 54% in a single day. The developers wrote, Boden has no association with Joe Biden. This token is simply a meme coin with no intrinsic value or expectation of financial return. Now, there are a lot of people wanting to end the meme coin frenzy, including one of the co-founders of Solana, Anatoly Yakovenko. He reposted a ZackXBT post on X about the Solana meme coin pre-sales and how much they have generated, which, for the record, has been more than 655,000 SOL, or $122.5 million from just 27 of the more famous examples. Yakovenko's repost simply said, stop doing this. Additionally, Cointelegraph spoke to the Singaporean crypto education firm Griffsys Academy, who told us, meme tokens have a knack for capturing attention rapidly through their widespread viral sharing on social media platforms. An engaging tweet or a captivating Reddit post about a meme token can spread like wildfire, reaching vast audiences in no time. They added that the pace at which meme coins are created and spike bring with it a heightened urgency. The urgency, crafted through limited time offers, exclusive airdrops, and the backing of influential figures or ecosystems, compels investors to act swiftly. The fear of missing out on these fleeting opportunities prompts quick decision making, ensuring that the individuals feel compelled to jump on board without delay. And as we discussed in a recent episode about those five dangers of aping into meme coins, making a snap decision on something that is almost definitely going to fail is going to usually be a poor financial move. But what are your thoughts on meme coins? Is it just lighthearted degen activities, or does it undermine and damage the industry? Okay, that is it for today. Consider yourself informed. Thank you for listening to the Rise in Crypto podcast by Cointelegraph. If you're enjoying these daily updates, please make sure you let us know by following, subscribing, or leaving a review. Have a great day. Let's do this again tomorrow.